The Angels Weep, the Ballantine Series, Book 3. Written by Wilbur Smith and read by Elliot Chapman.
But man, proud man, dressed in a little brief authority, most ignorant of what he's most assured, his glassy essence like an angry ape, plays such fantastic tricks before high heaven as make the angels weep. Measure for Measure, William Shakespeare. Part 1. Three horsemen rode out from the edge of the forest with a restrained eagerness that not even the weary weeks of constant searching could dull. They reined in, stirrup to stirrup, and looked down into another shallow valley. Each stalk of the dry winter grass bore a fluffy seed head of a lovely pale rose colour, and the light breeze stirred them and made them dance, so that the herd of sable antelope in the gut of the valley seemed to float belly deep in a bank of swirling pink mist. There was a single herd bull. He stood almost 14 hands tall at the withers. His satiny back and shoulders were black as a panther's, but his belly and the intricate designs of his face mask were the startling iridescent white of mother of pearl. His great ridged horns, curved like Saladin's scimitar, swept back to touch his croup, and his neck was proudly arched as that of a blood Arab stallion. Long ago hunted to extinction in his former southern ranges, this noblest of all the antelopes of Africa had come to symbolize for Ralph Ballantyne this wild and beautiful new land between the Limpopo and the wide green Zambezi rivers. The great black bull stared arrogantly at the horseman on the ridge above him, then snorted and tossed his warlike head. Thick, dark mane flying, sharp hooves clattering over the stony ground, he led his chocolate-coloured brood mares at a gallop up and over the far ridge, leaving the watching men mute at their grandeur and their beauty. Ralph Ballantyne was first to rouse himself, and he turned in the saddle towards his father. "Well, Papa," he asked, "do you recognize any landmarks?"
"It was more than 30 years ago,"
Zuga Ballantyne murmured, a little frown of concentration puckering an arrowhead in the center of his forehead.
30 years, and I was riddled with malaria."
Then he turned to the third rider, the little wizened Hottentot, his companion and servant since those far-off days.
"What do you think, Jan Sjoerd?"
The Hottentot lifted the battered regimental cap from his head and smoothed the little peppercorns of pure white wool that covered his scalp.
"Perhaps."
Ralph cut in brusquely.
"Perhaps it was all merely a fever dream."
The frown on his father's handsome bearded features sharpened, and the scar upon his cheek flushed from bone porcelain to rose, while Jan Sjoerd grinned with anticipation. When these two were together, it was better entertainment than a cockfight any day.
"Damn it, boy,"
Zuga snapped.
"Why don't you go back to the wagons and keep the women company?"
Zuga drew the thin chain from his fob pocket and dangled it before his son's face.
"There it is,"
he snapped.
"That's the proof."
On the ring of the chain hung a small bunch of keys and other oddments, a gold seal, a St. Christopher, a cigar cutter, and an irregular lump of quartz the size of a ripe grape. This last was mottled like fine blue marble and starred through its center with a thick wedge of gleaming native metal.
"Raw red gold,"
said Zuga.
"Ripe for the picking."
Ralph grinned at his father, but it was an insolent and provocative grin, for he was bored. Weeks of wandering and fruitless searching were not Ralph's style at all. "I always suspected that you picked that up from a peddler's stall on the Grand Parade at Cape Town, and that it's only fool's gold anyway." The scar on his father's cheek turned a darker, furious red, and Ralph laughed delightedly and clasped Zuga's shoulder. "Oh, Papa, if I truly believed that, do you think I would waste weeks of my time? What with the railroad building and the dozen other bulls I'm juggling, would I be here instead of in Johannesburg or Kimberley?" He shook Zuga's shoulder gently, the smile no longer mocking. "It's here. We both know it. We could be standing on the reef at this very moment, or it could just be over the next ridge." Slowly, the heat went out of Zuga's scar, and Ralph went on evenly. "The trick, of course, is to find it again. We could stumble over it in the next hour, or search another 10 years.